Hey everyone, my name is Lorena, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97000. There you can ask questions, submit a prayer request, and even support the River Church financially. And at the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can. You can also visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this blessed day? I'm loving something that is happening in Grand Blanc. I was actually just talking. I watched in the last song, like four families show up, and then instantly all of them were doing the exact same thing, trying to figure out where a seat would be where they could sit. So it is a great problem to have when the only seats you have is the front row, because nobody loves sitting in the front row. But just to watch how many families are coming and how many of you are here on this morning, that is a great problem for any church to have. So God bless what is going on here in Grand Blanc. So that was beautiful to see. For some of you who don't know, my name is Ryan Story. So I'm actually the family pastor here at the River Church. So a lot of times people ask me, well, what does that mean? So all of our ministries, 0 to 28, so that's our River Kids pre-K and infants, that's our River Kids elementary, that's our high school ministries, that's our middle school ministries, and that's our young adult ministries, kind of falls under a little bit of my jurisdiction. So clearly cannot do that all alone, and I have a blessed and an amazing team. So people like Katie Pettibone, and if I say Katie's name and it doesn't erupt in applause, what Katie is doing here with the kids here, it's awesome, it's a beautiful, it's awesome. To see every single kid who comes to Grand Blanc is loved and they hear the gospel. And then again, I get to help Zach just continue his walk with the Lord and be used in just amazing ways with our student ministries and young adults. And it was actually awesome because I was actually up here on Tuesday preaching to the young adults. So that was a blessed time for me. But I was also up at New Life Camp with our high school group. So I got done preaching on Friday night, and then I came home Saturday afternoon. And I kind of looked at Zach, and I'm a weird numbers guy. I like looking at stats and figures, and I always like looking at that stuff. I was like, hey, and I like leaned over to him like right before I went to preach. I was like, that's the most amount of Grand Blanc high school kids we've ever taken to winter camp. So great job going after the families. Great job connecting with people. And he's like, what? I didn't know that. And I was like, no. I was like, the Lord is using you, man. I was like, keep it up. And again, Zach, in the most humble way possible, like, looked at me. But just kind of one of those things. It's just a blessing to be here. But I do think there's kind of two elephants in the room, though. I don't know if Pastor Chuck talked about this, but this is our annual pastor swap weekend. And while I am an ordained minister, while I am a pastor, I don't really have a location that I preach out of. So I used to be at Burton. I'm no longer at Burton, just so I can focus my time strictly on family ministries. But what ended up happening was our locations pastor and Waterford location pastor, Jason Combs, ended up having to get surgery this week on his knee. So we kind of found that out last week. So we kind of started to have to make plans on what we do. And then they kind of said, well, six man up, I get to be, if you know the 2004 Pistons, I'm the Antonio McDice. So like, the fact that you got that, thank you for knowing sports. I was like, if that joke falls flat, I was like, that's not going to be great. But it is a blessing to be here. But also kind of one of those things, as a Grand Blanc community, as a location that I know loves their pastor. I love Pastor Chuck. I love the encouragement that he is in my life. I love the example that he sets just for his passion for not only the Word of God, but seeing people know Jesus and seeing people grow in Jesus. Like his dad did end up having kind of surgery this morning, so please be just in prayer for them. Be in prayer for Mike. Be in prayer for Chuck. Because, I mean, he still continued to preach today. And, again, we were kind of chatting a little bit, the location pastors and all that stuff. Like, he's like, I'm going to go preach, but, like, just to know, like, what's going on in his life. Like, but be in prayer. That's one of the best things, in my opinion, for a location to do for their pastor. It's not just come in and, hey, give me a good sermon and I'm going to leave, but also, like, pray for him. Encourage him. Be an encouragement for a rally. Be an encouragement for the kids, because, again, it's just such a beautiful thing to see what the gospel is doing here in Grand Blanc. But for us, let's pray, and let's see what God has for us this morning. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, just thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you that even in circumstances that seem difficult or seem hard, Lord, we know that they are on your calendar, Lord. You knew that they were coming up, Lord, but we know that you are in perfect control. So first and foremost, Lord, continue to do amazing work here in Grand Blanc. Lord, be with Pastor Chalk and his family, Lord. I pray that I know that they're seeking you. I know they're trying to navigate a situation, Lord, but I know that their trust is there in you. So, Lord, as a church, as your church, as a location, Lord, as friends, Lord, allow us just to be able to lift up our friend, our pastor, our mentor. And, Lord, we pray that ultimately, Lord, you just continue to move in his life. But, Lord, for us today, Lord, as we continue looking at kind of our vision statement of, it's your church, but Lord, but the River Church, Lord, I pray every single person here, Lord, is able to take a look at their life, Lord. They're able to take a stock of how they're living for you, Lord. We're able to respond. Lord, if repentance needs to be done, I pray people repent, Lord. If people need to draw closer to you, pray that happens, Lord. If people need to be more diligent and more passionate in their walk with you, Lord, pray that that happens, Lord. But all things that happen here today, we give you the glory. So, Jesus, we pray this all in your beautiful and your powerful name. Amen. So, it's January 18th. That seems like, again, January, I don't know why, like, seems to be either, like, the fastest month of the year or the slowest month of the year. But something kind of happened recently kind of in my family. It's like we go through our Christmas season, and, like, I love Christmas. So as much as I'm, like, the family pastor, I don't know if you remember these old commercials, like, with the Hair Club for Men, it's like, not only am I a spokesman, I'm also, like, a participant, or I'm also a user of that. Like, I love family ministry. So not only do I, like, love to work with family ministry, like, I love family. I love being able to spend time with my kids. I love being able to spend time with my wife. I love all the craziness that comes with having four beautiful kids under 10. I just realized even yesterday I'm hanging out with my son, and, like, my 10-year-old's feet are getting, like, ridiculously huge. And I'm like, you're going to be bigger than me soon, aren't you? And I'm like, so again, some of you dads who are a little bit further in the game than me, when your son started getting bigger than you, like, can you come and give me some advice post-gathering? Like, how do you handle that? Like, how do you walk through that? Like, what do you got to do? But, like, I love family. And one of the things I noticed, though, this last week was all the pomp and the circumstance of Christmas has kind of come and gone. Like, I remember Christmas morning, and as a dad, I hope some of you know this, like, I love getting my cup of coffee, and I'm just as much in the dark of what's in the boxes as the kids are, because let's be honest, I did not order them, I did not open them, and the Lord knows I did not wrap them. So again, like, I'm sitting there looking like, I know what this is, I'm drinking my coffee. But, like, there was so much excitement on, like, Christmas morning for opening different gifts and, like, little action figures and the Pokemons and the Beyblades and the sports stuff and all that stuff. And, like, all of a sudden, like, the kids were like, this is the greatest thing in the world. Then the next gift, this is the actual greatest thing in the world. And that every single thing was the greatest. The zeal, the pomp, the encouragement, like, it was completely there. But then this last week, I kind of get home after being up at a winter camp, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be like try to be the husband of the year. I'm going to start trying to, like, actually clean the house, even though I completely left my kids with, like, four kids for, like 12 hours. So trying to make up that dad guilt really quick. But so I'm cleaning, but I was like, well, what about this gift? What about this gift? I'm, like, finding all the little toys, the board games, the parts, this is the greatest thing. And, like, all that excitement that was there at one point has seemingly got thrown away. So forget the awe, the amazement, the wonder is just, like, finished. And then all you're left with is plastic. And parents, I'm sure you feel that sometimes. Like, why did I buy this? Why do we have more blocks? Why do we have more race cars? Why do we have more puzzles? Like, but we're stuck with that. So I'm sitting here, and as I was navigating through my message and then kind of, like, cleaning up my house, like, I kind of got to that point. I kind of want to discuss this idea. I was like, how can something that is so wonderful and so amazing and brings so much joy in one moment just kind of stop? And in light of, more specifically, and I'm not talking about material things, I'm talking about, like, growing in your walk with God. Like sometimes, like we can get connected into a growth community. We could read the Bible. We can start our new Bible plans, whatever it might be. You might get your new Bible, and if you're the artsy person, you highlight and you draw the flowers and all that stuff. And again, we get so excited about it. But like we're so in, we're locked in. We love it. We're learning the truth. Like I mean, and I take this as genuine. And I don't like when people are like, "You didn't stay consistent. Ergo, it's not genuine." I don't agree with that. Because I think that there is a genuineness when there is excitement for the Lord. But I think if you're similar to myself, it's hard to maintain that, isn't it? It's hard to keep up. We have seasons where we're like, man, we are on fire. We are locked in. We're going to growth committee. We're praying for people. We're reaching out to pray with people. Like we are locked in. You see the Lord move in amazing ways, like, and it is all things amazement. But then we can go through seasons, kind of like a kid on Christmas Day. Like what you were so excited about kind of trickles away. And again, we can be pumped about what is going on. We can be pumped about what God is doing. We can be pumped about growth communities and Bible plans and praying. But then eventually a season of lethargic. I'll show my millennial right now, but a season of meh. It's actually a word in the dictionary. But then again, that from what was so, I was excited to be engaged in a growth community. I was excited to grow in my walk with Christ. I was excited to be able to see God move becomes, well, that's too much, or I don't have time, or I'll get to that tomorrow. And one of the things that I love about the River Church is, one, just everything hinges on the gospel. Not saying every decision is like favorable or everybody likes every decision, but like everything we do is to make the most out of Jesus. Everything we do as a church is to ultimately help people see Jesus and find Jesus and know Jesus. That's why our first thing that we talk about when it comes to the River Church is reaching the lost. If you don't reach the lost, the reality is we were all lost at one point. If that slides down the value chart, if that slides down the priority list, like what are we missing here? Because the number one thing, the most important question somebody will ever answer on this side of eternity is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Reaching the lost is so important. That's why we talk about it. When we talk about gathering and what is going on in here right now is such a beautiful thing. A group of called out believers coming together, trying to find a seat and not getting discouraged and leaving. Again, like you want to grow. You want to worship. You want to fellowship. You want to be a part of a movement of God. Like again, like as we gather, we are all celebrating what the Lord is doing. And when we get to see baptisms, we get to celebrate what the Lord is doing on us as an individual. When we see kids grow and we see kids come home with take homes and they're learning about gospel truth as well. Like we get to celebrate that the Lord is doing something. He is the one who brings the growth. That's why I also love the fact that as much as we talk about reaching and gathering, we also have to talk about what we're doing to grow in our walks with God. It's such a value. Because our growth should never be lethargic. Our growth should never be on the back burner. Our growing in our relationship, our understanding with Jesus should never be something that's met as a chore. So for me, when I look at that, it's like, how do we go from like being so in, so celebrating, being able to have so much wonder in watching what Jesus does, to, so how do we bring wonder, how do we bring zeal, how do we bring excitement into our lives, and how do we never backstep, but how do we make sure that we're always drawing closer to Jesus? I love the book of James, and I say it almost probably every time I pray. I love what he says in chapter 4. He says, like, when we draw close to Jesus, he will draw close to you. That is one of the simplest truths I learned when I was first coming to believe Jesus and walking with Jesus and understanding Jesus. I was like, so what you're saying is if I always humble myself and repent and pray and I bring myself back to him, he's going to walk closer? Yup, and I don't always understand it. I don't always get it. But you know what? I'm always going to draw close. Every season, every up, every down, every frustration, even when I mess up. But how do we lose that excitement? How do we make sure that we're drawing closer to Jesus? How do we keep that excitement? How do we keep that zeal? How do we keep that purpose? How do we make sure that we don't fall into, it's a wanna, fine, It's growth community night. Hope that person doesn't talk too much. How do we get past those things that can become so distracting and be so demoralizing and so demotivating? And how do we stay devoted? How do we stay excited? How do we make sure grow stays as that thing that we want to keep doing? So to find that, again, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And I love the book of Acts. Like I love the Gospel of Luke, and I love being able to just kind of like read the Gospel of Luke and like flow that right into reading the book of Acts. But in Acts chapter 2, and it just is one of those things as we're reading, like there's a great challenge if you're, yeah, I kind of fell off my Bible reading plan for the year. Start in Acts. If you can get to Acts chapter 5 before we're end of the series, like you'll be in a good spot. But in Acts chapter 2, what do we see? We see a lot of amazing things in Acts 1 and Acts 2. But you see Jesus kind of like talks about like, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and you're going to go wait in Jerusalem. And then again, he ascends, Jesus goes up into heaven, and I love this, before he leaves, he's already kind of said like, hey, you're going to go into all the world, you're going to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see in Matthew, when they talk about Jesus' ascension more specifically, he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have commanded you, and remember I am with you from this day to the end of the age. Amen. I absolutely love the Great Commission. That is what, in my opinion, every pastor and what every Christian should be on mission for. But you see, after Jesus leaves, then they go to Jerusalem. They start casting lots to figure out who's going to take Judas's spot, because Judas is no longer with them. The Holy Spirit comes. The day of Pentecost comes. Peter preaches, and thousands upon thousands of people come to know Jesus, and they are baptized on that day. And I love this because, again, I think this is one of those moments where you see the birth of the church. And I love God's scripture. I love the Holy Word of God. I love studying the Bible. Because if we read it, go figure, God will always kind of give us those next steps. He will always give us what we should do. He already knows that, again, if left to our own devices, not great happens. So what does he do with the birth of the church? He makes sure he's inspiring Luke. He's making sure he's writing. He's like, I need you to record exactly what we're doing. This is going to be the blueprint of what my church looks like. And starting in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, God's word describes what happens. He says, and they, who are they? These are those who have come to know Christ. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking the breads in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day for those who were being saved. Now, I don't want to jump or get lost in the weeds here, but like one of the things that I love when we talk about growing in God's word, one of the things we always know is God always brings the increase. Talks about this in Corinthians. Apollos planted, I watered, and God gave the increase. One of the things that I love is one of the greatest kind of like cause and effects to growing in your walk with God. When you personally, when a church personally, when we grow in the walk with God, what are you going to see? You're going to see spiritual maturity. You're going to see sanctification. You're going to see people become devout to Jesus. They're going to go shine that light into a dark community. And then what happens when we go and do that? When we go tell people, when we go show people, when we go show people that Jesus is real, what happens? Go figure, people get saved. So why is growth so important to a walk? Again, you see growth spiritually with individuals, but then you also see God bringing that growth. So he wants to know that he can trust a group of people. He wants to be able to give people the opportunity to go change somebody's eternal destiny. And he's like, hey, live for me, know me, worship me, be devoted to me, be passionate about me. And when you are, guess what? It's not like you manufacture anything. It's not about a program. It's not an event. Like, just God is going to bring that growth. I hinge on that. I love that, because that becomes one of the most important motivating factors that we got to have. Why do we want to grow? Number one. It's going to help our walk with God. It's going to help us worship our Jesus better. But it's not just about you. the utmost in our walks with God is not turning around and be like, man, I know all 66 books of the Bible. And for some of you who have kids in like Awana or some river kids or is in the back of the program, they might know the song and they can recite it. The utmost is not knowing the difficulties and the tensions between predestination and free will. Well, I can argue as a Calvinist. Great, dude. Man, I can tell you why this prophet was this or that prophet was this, or I could tell you about this type of theology or that type of theology. I can tell you why this type of church. Those are all great things. They're all worthy of conversations. I'm not even trying to get on them because I used to like love those too. But the utmost thing in our growth should never be about propping us up. It should always be about propping what Jesus has done up. So as you grow, to be able to show people the realness of Christ. And I love the fact that Jesus delivers all that for us. It's not about you. It's not about me. But what is it about? It's us being devoted and being obedient. So like I said, I didn't want to get lost in that. But the things that we see, though, here at the church, when we look at Acts chapter 2, you see devoted Christians. And when I say devoted Christians, I want to make sure what we mean by that. These are repentant, believing sinners. I don't like when we're like, that's the church. They got it all together. No, we do not. I don't think any single person would be like, hey, give me the mic, Ryan, I got it all together. Like, when we talk about the church of Jesus Christ, it is repentant, believing sinners who realize that we are in need, we have a great need, and we need Jesus. But what do we see with these devoted Christians? You see awe fall on them of what God is doing. They have Pentecost, like, do you know how messed up Peter was? He cut a dude's ear off, and Jesus is like, we don't do that here. Like, again, like, Jesus, like, completely talked to Peter like he was a kid. Turn around, like, again, Peter, the dude who denied Jesus like 3 times. Yeah. He preached and he made sense. He was a fisherman. He was being theological. And thousands of people got saved. Thousands of people got baptized. They're in awe about the fact that God was moving. They're in awe about the fact that many were coming to know Christ. And while God is bringing that increase, God is bringing that growth. The one thing when we look at Acts chapter 2, you don't see anybody lethargic. I don't know if there was if there's a Ted in the room, I swear, I don't know if he exists, but like Ted's not sitting in the corner just being like, man, being a Debbie Downer, being upset about things, just being like, this isn't really good, guys. What do you see? You see all of the church in on this. You see, everybody's going. You don't see anybody who's like, I don't want to grow. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to do this stuff. Because again, when you look at it again, all of them. So when we start, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and all who believed. This is everybody who believed. You see so much like inclusive language. You see so many people who are, everybody is in on this. What do you see everybody doing? If we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And the fellowship, and to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. It's a group of people who are devoted. I think that becomes like a really, really big thing when we got to look at it. Like, how much devotion do we have for something? Husbands, I hope you can like look over at your wife, and I hope you can say, like, I am devoted to you. You're my one and my only. You're it. The ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, whatever it can be. I hope every single husband can turn around and look at their wife and be like, I'm devoted to you. And I hope every single wife can do the same thing. Parents, grandparents, I hope you can do that with your kids. And we know kids can make decisions. This is the worst and the trickiest thing ever. God gave our children free will. So always remember that. In the way that you look at your kid and you're like, why would you do that? God does the exact same thing to us up in heaven. So never forget that. That is one of the most aligning, humbling things ever. The amount of times I look at my kids and I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, God does that to me. I'm probably like a much, 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 much deeper level. But I'm still devoted to my kids. I love my kids. I love my son. I love my sons. I love my daughter. I'm in. But when we look at this, we got to be devoted. I'm in. I'm going to take that time. I'm going to inconvenience myself. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do this. Because if you think about certain things, again, like how many people, like again, like, hey, I'm devoted to a bowling league. And if someone like loves bowling here, there, I'm getting an email. Absolutely. My name is Ted and I like bowling and here comes your email. Ted, I'm sorry. I love you. Please continue to be my brother in Christ. But with it, like we see those things like, man, I'm in for a bowling league. Like how much devotion do you put in that? Like, yeah, you're there. But if roads are bad, kid's sick, wife's not feeling good, like you're probably, hey, I got to take a step back. We should never compare our devotion to our family in the same way for a bowling league. In the same way, we got to look at our devotion for our Lord and our Savior, our best friend, the one who saved us, the one who rescued us. And we got to look at this. How devoted are we to Him? But specifically, what are we devoted to? And I love that the Bible says these are the things that we got to be devoted to. Number one, the apostles' teaching. What are the apostles? The apostles are people who saw Jesus. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You got Peter, you got Jude, you got James, you got Paul. Majority of the writings of the New Testament. Well, why do we have the Old Testament? Because they're confirming everything from the New Testament. Again, Jesus quoted those things, so that's why we have the Old Testament. So what do we as the church, a couple 2,000 years later, what do we ought to devote ourselves to? The Bible. What translation? Whichever one's in your hand. I have a specific one I like. Pastor Chuck loves New King James. I'm not a New King James guy. I'll read it. I like it. It's still the Bible. But we're not fighting over it because it's all the same truth as long as it's a good Bible. So I look at this one thing. Are we devoted to reading and growing in our knowledge of the Bible? It's the most important thing, in my opinion, for a Christian because God gives you His truth and puts it in your hand. And if you're like, I don't like reading, well, guess what? There's these things called audiobooks right now. And I will tell you this. It is January 18th. I am going through the New Testament right now, and I got like 4 books left. And that's just me walking my dog at night. So you, if you, I struggle reading the Bible, then listen to it. You'd be shocked how much time you can like save and how much you can listen to in a very small amount of time. But what should we be doing as believers who are showing ourselves devoted? We have to read our Bibles. There's a direct link to growth. Well, I'm listening to podcasts or I'm listening to books, and those things are good, but that's not the Bible. I'm listening to this great new Christian author. Awesome, I love it, and I'm sure it's pushing you in a different way, but that is not the Word of God. We have to read the Bible. But what else do they do? They are devoted to fellowship. What does it mean? You're doing life together. You know the struggles of the person who's on the other side of the room. And if you don't know them directly, you know somebody who does know those struggles, so you can turn around and you can pray with them, be in support with them, and help them. It's one of the most important things, I think, for a church. This is when a community starts moving. When they move past showing up to a Sunday or showing up to a program or showing up to an event, they are fellowshipping with each other. They're doing life together. The free commercial is growth communities, guys. It's one of the most important things that helps the church get smaller. It helps the church get more personal. It helps the church get more intimate, where you don't have to like turn around and we do open mic night and be like, hello. I'm picking on Ted again. I don't know why I keep on picking on Ted, but like, hi, I'm Ted, I'm struggling. But if you have that small group of friends that you meet with every week and you're opening up the scriptures, you're talking about growing in God's word, but you can say, I'm struggling or I'm doing good or I need Jesus or I need this prayer. Fellowship, being devoted to each other, so important. Skipping doesn't equal devotion. Lethargic doesn't equal devotion. And I know we all have busy lives, but we ought to never be so busy that we can't sit down with one another every once in a while and talk, to be with each other. What else are they devoted to? It says they're devoted to the breaking of the bread. And I believe this is two things. I think this goes with the fellowship because I think this is doing life together. This is that simple, very practical, like go eat together. It's a very, very practical thing. There's something just so open about when you invite somebody to your home or you go out to eat with somebody. There's that. But I also think that this also means communion. Because if we read when Paul gives instructions in Corinthians, he says, as often as you do this and as you eat, you should be breaking bread. Why? Because do this in remembrance of me. So what are they devoted to? Well, they're doing life together, but they're also doing it and they're doing it and they're remembering what Jesus does and did. It is going to do. So they're devoted to actually sitting down every once in a while and be like, what's the Lord doing around us? Oh, He's doing great things. But then what's the last one that they're devoted to? Prayer. In the same way that reading the Bible is so essential, sitting down, calming yourself down, not doing the prayer where like you drift off, and I'll say this, I drift off all the time in prayers. Like I start that conversation and I'm like, I don't even know why I'm talking about dinner tomorrow, and then I like go back to, and in Jesus' name, amen. So if you're like, I struggle with prayer, so do I. It's hard. Again, like keeping your brain focused. But the reality is, what should we be doing? What should we be devoted to? Spending that time with God, talking to him. Asking him what's going on. One of the scariest prayers you possibly can ask God is like, hey, can you reveal what's in my life that is separating me from knowing you better? Because we have a God who will answer. We have a God who will show up, but he can't turn around like this and be like, nuh-uh. But you got to listen. But you got to take that time to be able to spend with him. So what do we see? We see that the early church, what are they devoted to? How are they seeing growth? How are they seeing God do amazing things? They are devoted to the apostles' teaching. They are devoted to the fellowship. They're devoted to breaking bread, communion. They're devoted to prayer. And one of the biggest things that I believe I see, and I can see this more in my own personal life, if I'm only devoted to one of the four, I don't see as much progress. If I'm only devoting my time, like, man, I'm really reading the Bible, but I am not talking to a single soul ever, hinders my walk. And, oh, I can know Jesus and I can read my own Bible. I don't need to go to that men's event. Yeah, for sure, dude. But when you're in a room full of guys who are worshiping and they're trying to grow, there's something that happens there. So I'm skipping growth communities, skipping the opportunities where we can grow together, like, it brings a mess. It devalues devotion. So what we do here at the River Church, I love it. They're opportunities to bring us to a place where we can know God better. But it's the same idea. If we're just going one for four, it's the same mentality of like skipping leg day. You can't skip leg day. But that's hard. I know. It's difficult. Yeah, no, it was painful. Pastor Ryan, I had to talk to somebody. I know that can be hard for some of you. Sitting down and reading could be difficult for you. But in the same way, again, we make jokes about this, there's memes about this, all that stuff that goes on. Like, again, you can't skip one. We got to have all these for devotion. So the first step for being excited and making sure that we are excited to see what God is doing, we have to kind of take a stock of our life. We got to be able to take a stock of how we're living, and are we devoted to these four areas? And I guarantee if we're sitting here, like there's going to be a different struggle across the entire group that is here. There's going to be a different struggle for those who are watching online. Like, man, I do this really well, but man, this is struggling. Man, I'm falling off here, but I'm doing good here. But the reality is if we want to be devoted, we want to be passionate, we want to be so excited about what God is doing, God lays out a blueprint for us and says, hey, here's the things you got to do. But one of the things is it's not just a one and done. Whew, read the Bible for the week. Check. Man, I got that fellowship in. That was tough. Check. Man, I went out to breakfast or lunch with somebody. Check. But the reality, one of the things is like it's not just meant to be a checklist. It's meant to be a day-by-day lifestyle. That's why I think when you see Acts chapter 2, verse 46, so that's why it says, and day-by-day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with gladness. Like, you just see a daily, habitual, like, we're doing this every day. This is part of our rhythm. We're making sure this happens. But for me, the church, and I look at this as such a great example, they stayed devoted in their walk to God daily. Like, I'll say this, like I think a lot of people with good intentions, like, probably started a Bible plan in January. And I'll say this, if you're like, ooh, I missed a couple days, that's the beautiful thing. You don't miss 2 days in a row. You keep at it. This is where the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ shows up. But one of those things, like, it's day by day, little by little, block by block, moment by moment, hour by hour. That's how great things are built. So not giving up. But turning around and being like, I'm excited and I'm passionate about putting my devotion into daily living for Jesus. And I think when we put that daily living, that daily devotion into living for Jesus, that's where this awe comes from in Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through, notice that's through the apostles, not the apostles are doing it, through the apostles. How do we get amazed by God? Day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour. We stay locked in, we stay devoted, we see these things. But one of those things as I was reading it this week, notice that the awe is not the thing that brings devotion. They were saved, they stayed devoted, and then they saw God move, and they're like, this is amazing. Because I think one of those things that definitely exists in our culture is like we want that quick pop. We want that quick like caffeine hit. We want that quick moment. We want that concert. We want that Bible study. We want that conference. It's like, this is going to be the thing that fixes me. If I just go to that concert, if I just go to this camp, if I just go to this retreat, if I just read this book, if I just listen to this podcast, like, man, that will fix me. Those are good things. I don't want to devalue them. Those are opportunities. But if you just go to that concert, you just listen to that podcast, you just read that book, but then nothing changes in your life and you add no daily devotion to it, then in 6 months you're looking back and being like, "Why? What is going on? How come nothing changed? How come I can start something and never finish it well? How come I can start the year and it doesn't keep going?" And I'll say this, I'm one of the biggest repeat offenders of this. Because, man, if I go to camp and I preach to a group of high school kids or middle school kids and I see the worship, I see the realness, man, that is going to sustain me forever. Man, if I go to this conference, if I listen to this podcast, if I go to this worship opportunity, this worship night, like, man, that is going to be the thing. Devotion brings about awe. But awe does not sustain devotion. So we got to make sure that why we are doing these things is because we stay in it. Because guess what, guys? The reality is the grind of life will get us. It's hard. I'll say this as a parent, to read while your kid wants breakfast. And we all know no kid turns around and wakes up in the morning and be like, "Hello, Father. I'm parched this morning. I would like some Cheerios or Fruit Loops or eggs, bacon, whatever." No, they wake up and they run at it. If you don't give them the right plate, well, that's going to distract you. Don't give them the right cup, well, that's going to distract you. Then again, you try getting back to your Bible study, and again, like your frustration's up to here, and you're like, "All right, and the Lord is my shepherd." it's hard to stay devoted in those moments. But this is why, even in those moments, we have to stay daily. We have to stay devoted. We can't just go based off of awe and feeling. We have to go based off of what is good for us. And I think one of the hardest things is like, man, can you still read the Bible? Can you still pray? Can you still come to a growth community? Can you still come to these things? Man, even if stuff is rough, it's been a busy week. Yeah, it has been, but man, we are committed to this. Man, it's been a crazy week, and kids can get sick, and man, like they're feeling better, but like, man, we just need one more weekend off. You see, devotion is such a good thing, but again, growth that lasts anything, growth that lasts starts with daily devotion, not emotion. So what do we do? What do we do in order to maintain growth in our walks with God? How do we continue to grow in our walks with God? We have to look at ourselves and we have to get devoted daily. It's one of those things where, like, again, like even like you look at a relationship with your spouse. Do you ever, like, daily, the first thing you say to them is, like, "I love you. You're beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate you." Those become so important in a marriage. Those become so important in a relationship. Like looking at your kids, like, "I'm proud of you. You're getting there, man." Actually being interested in the crazy things of the Beyblades and the Roblox and all those other things that they do. Like taking those things, that shows devotion. But for us, daily devotion takes effort. I don't feel like getting up in the morning. Well, do it. It takes planning. Again, if you're not a great morning person, then probably saying, "I'm going to wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and I'm going to read my Bible." If you ain't a morning person, why are you putting the most important task of the day in the morning? That's bad planning. If you know your kids are going to wake up and it's going to be like a hurricane inside of your house, like, probably should space some time out later. But it takes planning. But it also takes change. Being able to look at yourself and be like, "Yeah, that's not what I can do anymore. I can't be lethargic. I can't be meh." But it's also going to take dedication. Nothing happens if we just sit around. I kept writing that in my notes. I'm looking at the apostles, and I'm looking at what's going on in the church. Like, nothing happened. They weren't just sitting around. Now, God was bringing all the growth. God was doing all the amazing things. But what were the apostles doing to maintain their growth, to continue their growth, to see the growth of the church go? What were they doing? They daily were praising Jesus. Daily, they were growing closer to Jesus. Daily, they were committed to the teaching. They were going praying together. They were living life together. So as a church, as his church, as his children, let's get devoted. Let's be devoted. And let's continue to be devoted to reading our Bibles, to fellowship, to breaking bread and prayer. Because why? Because when we get devoted to these things, you're going to look back, if you get serious about this and you stay after this, you're going to look back in like January. Like, wow, God's taken me so far. Man, God's helped that in so many ways. Man, God used me to lead somebody to Christ. Man, like we don't have any more room in this auditorium because, again, I keep being devoted to Jesus and I keep inviting my coworkers and my friends, my neighbors. But it's one of those things where devotion, daily devotion to living for Jesus can not only change your world, it can be used to change everybody's. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. Lord, thank you for all the good that is going on. Lord, I pray that even in messages like this, where it seems like, man, we just don't have it together, Lord. Lord, we never forget what you have done in our lives. Lord, we never forget how far you have brought us. But Lord, as we focus on growing in your word, growing in our understanding of you, growing in just our relationship with you, Lord, you are conforming us to look and respond more like you, Lord. Pray that we never take our walks, our relationship, our lives with you as just checking off the box. It's just, Lord, we don't take you as just a part of what we are doing on this side of eternity. Lord, you are our everything on this side. But Lord, you've always shown yourself devoted and loving to us, Lord. And Lord, while we wander and Lord, while we stray, Lord, thank you for always welcoming us back every time. Lord, as we as a church, as we as a location, as we as anybody within the sound of my voice, focus on you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give us that awe. You give us that wonder, Lord. You give us that zeal, Lord. You give us those things. But Lord, we keep walking with them to maintain it. We are walking obediently with you daily. Lord, I pray for every single person in this room, Lord, who might feel that conviction, Lord, who you might be revealing something in their lives, Lord. Lord, I pray with just that gentle voice that you have, Lord. Pray that you guide them to you, Lord. But Lord, I pray you give them the power, the self-control to be able to walk with you. Lord, in the areas of where we let you down, Lord, I pray that we're able to just walk obediently in the ways that we're supposed to. But Lord, as you're growing us and you're bringing that increase, Lord, I pray that we always walk close to you. And as your Bible says, Lord, when we draw close to you, Lord, you draw close to us. So, Lord, as we come back to worship you, Lord, with melody, Lord, I pray that every single person's heart is just locked into wanting to praise you, to want to know you, Lord. But as we leave today, Lord, we leave with wanting to live a life where we know you more. So, Jesus, we love you. And, Jesus, we pray this all in your beautiful and powerful name. Amen.